Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Pitching coach Tommy Hottovee of the Cubs wearing the blue pullover.
Tommy Hottovee, pitching coach for the Chicago Cubs.
You're transitioning from being a player to kind of getting into baseball. You take an online class, was it, at Boston U? Sabermetrics 101?
Yeah. Good, I was answer. A finance major in college, and I had an economics minor. A lot of it was, too, I'm going to refresh all my econ knowledge, and I'm going to do it in a baseball course. It's like one of the best things ever.
There's just a lot of trust there with Tommy. We know he's such a hard worker. He puts in all the hours and really, really knows what he's talking about when it comes to pitching.
Tommy Hottovee, breaking down the starting rotation and bullpen on the north side with Mullin Haw.
I'm here for one reason. I want to help these guys get better, and we want to win baseball games.
Tommy Hottovee on 670 The Score.
Tommy! Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to Tommy Hottovee, the Cubs pitching coach, and he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Doing great. How are you?
We are living the dream, and it's been a lot of fun to watch this season unfold. Obviously, you're hoping for better in Detroit, but that was a great series. And last night, getting to the 11th inning, that was something special. Thought you were going to get that one. These games, the pitching matchups are always going to make baseball games tough, and you've played some really good teams with good pitching of late.
Yeah, we have. We really have. And you know, even going to the start of this road trip with Washington, like mm-hmm. we went into D.C. there, their offense had been on a nice little run. You're facing Mackenzie Gore in the series, you know, like there's no cake series right now. When you look around the league and you see some of the talent, in some of these teams and some of the pitchers that you're facing, you know, as a pitching staff that you've got to keep things close and you got to be able to, weather the storm with teams that have, good offenses, Detroit and Philly, obviously here, and some of the teams we'll be playing. So, it's a part of the season where teams are starting to figure out who they are and putting pieces together to win games. And for us, our goal on the pitching side, when you're facing some of these really good pitchers, is just make sure to keep our team in the game as long as possible. Keeping them to one run innings. Keeping things close, knowing that our offense does such a good job of coming back, even if we are down late.
So let's go to last night, Tommy, because Craig Counsell gets ejected. It's extra innings. Danny Palencia comes on for a second inning. What went into that decision, and what did you see that you liked in that matchup?
Yeah, well, I think number one, he threw 8 pitches, in that first extra inning. So, for us, we've been really lucky over the last week to have a really fresh bullpen. And Danny's a guy who can go multiple innings. He's done it before. He went one plus, you know, like 2 days ago or 3 days ago, I guess, in Detroit. You know, it was a good matchup for him. It was a good spot. You know, he's got high swing and miss stuff. And so that first inning with eight pitches with the quick double play and then the out, you know, it's a pretty easy decision to go ahead and send him back out. And then obviously the second inning, the bunts killed us, you know, not being able to convert those into outs. You know, it's in a big moment like that. That's what we need to do. And obviously it just didn't work out our way. I think Danny threw a total of 14 pitches or 13 or 14 pitches in the two innings. So, you know, it was volume wise, not a high outing for him. Obviously high stress, you know, pitches are completely different, but you know, he's been so good. It's a, you know, for us, I think it was a no brainer to send it back out there.
How did Shota come out of pitching in Arizona? Is he pitching again today?
No, he did really well yesterday. Okay. Still don't have any video or data, you know, from the game yet. We should have that hopefully later on today. But he did good. It was two innings, 40 pitches. He was able to, I think, execute all the things he wanted to do in kind of his first, you know, live game against a different team.
Right.
And again, you know, for him, a lot of this will be the recovery side of things, making sure that he feels good today, is able to complete all the things he would normally do between starts, and go from there. You know, our goal is to get him in another game at the end of this week, but we obviously need to see where he's at these next few days and make sure that the recovery side of things is getting taken care of.
Tommy, your bullpen has been outstanding, especially over the last month, and I just wondered if there was a common thread that connects any of these guys together, because this, as the stats go, and they have numbers for everything, but Ryan Pressly, Drew Pomerantz, Brad Keller, Caleb Theobar, and Chris Flexen have surrendered zero earned runs in 107 innings, I believe, since May 7th. What's been working so well in the past 30 days or so that maybe wasn't working earlier in the season?
Well, you know, I wish there was one common thread, you know, for each guy. It's funny, Pressly and I joke all the time. He's like, it's finally warming up outside. You know, he's pitching in the dome in Houston for the last few years. But I've been giving him crap because I was like, you know, I told him you pitched in Minnesota for like 5 or 6 years, so you can't be complaining about the weather. But I think with all these guys, when you get into the season and you're getting, you know, you're going through April and you're trying to figure out what exactly you have in terms of stuff, guys are constantly wanting to improve and get better. It's not just like, this is what I do and I'm going to go do it, you know, for as many games as I can to have success. It's okay, here are my strengths. What can I do to improve? How can I make my fastball, my curveball, you know, my cutter, whatever pitch that may be, how can I make it better? I think is the big thing. And these guys are finding ways to continue to grow and improve in season. And the second thing for me is the communication between the pitchers, the catchers and the staff on what are we seeing right now? What are our strengths? How can we attack hitters? How can we maximize what we do really well? The way the catchers, both Carson, obviously Miggy, you know, when he was here, and Reese, the way they buy into these guys and communicate between innings, before games, hey, what are you working on right now? What can we try to mix in that we want to continue to improve on? It's amazing. For a coach and the coaching staff, I think that's such an important piece here, having those guys communicate with each other and work together on what makes them the best version. And so when they're out there doing that and the catchers are calling the pitches, you know it's coming from a place that they've done their homework, they understand what guys are doing well, and they understand what they're continuing to work on. So, you know, like I said, I wish it was just one cohesive thing that they're all doing exactly the same, but I think it's more telling that it's a variety of things that the catchers and the staff and the players are all working on together to continue to get better.
You know, what's it like when you see your manager thrown out and all of a sudden things change pretty dramatically? That's two games running. I haven't seen that happen very often. The first one was so weird with the quick hook for Nico, and then Craig runs out there supporting his player. We understand that. But yesterday it was like that was another one where like he walked out there and he was gone. I mean, that's kind of weird seeing that happen as often as it has over the last 2 days.
Yeah, I think there's been some really unique circumstances the last few games. Some plays, you know, obviously the Nico one is well documented. You know where the pitch was and what Nico said, and yesterday was just we had one of those games where there was a lot of really unique plays, and the one where it's a swinging bunt that may or may not have hit the batter, and then he's running up inside the lane, and so many of these rules are like left up to the interpretation of the umpire, and it's only like in that situation it's only one guy's call. They don't even you know conference together to talk about it. Those are tough, and you know I think in counsel's sense he just wanted an explanation of what he was seeing, and you know that's you don't always get you know the answer that you want, but the fact that you can't even ask for explanations at times and trying to figure out why they called what they called, then you know it makes it tough. But you know everybody knows you know counts sees so much of the game and sees so many different things and on top of so many things, and you know I just think there's been some really weird circumstances the last two games.
So Ben Brown has been outstanding his last two outings, and after his home outing against the Reds, he kind of even kidded about the need for a third pitch that people talk about all the time. And he mentioned and referenced the 6.5% usage rate on the changeup. And so I wonder, as he's moving forward, what has he done in the last couple starts to make them stand out as they have? And how much do you talk to him about that third pitch?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously been in the forefront of his mind. And you know, we've tried over the years to add new pitches to Ben. You know, back in 23, we worked on the sweeper. You know, that didn't really take base, you know, more so on his arm path and his traits and how he throws the baseball. But he's always had the changeup that's come and gone. We've gone through variations of grips and things. And I always tell people this, like adding a new pitch is not as simple as like, hey, grip it this way, throw it, and then everything's going to work great. So many things go into play. And one big thing with Ben was, you know, early this year, mechanically, there were some things that we really wanted to get dialed in on. And if your fastball, if your two best pitches, your fastball curveball, aren't, you know, 100% dialed in where they need to be, then adding a third pitch is probably not the best time to really dive into it. You can continue to practice it and work on grips and things. But until you see changes and strides in those main two pitches, then you're going to start to see the third pitch really take over, because that's consistency and delivery and you know the mindset of what you're trying to accomplish from a mechanical standpoint. With Ben, we've gone through many iterations of the changeup, and you know finally kind of settled on that kick change type of pitch. It was going to kill a little bit more velo because his old changeup was hard. Is definitely like a hard power changeup, and killing some velo and killing some spin, which is going to you know obviously make the movement better. And I think for him, there was kind of a time where it just clicked. We threw one, got a chase off the plate, swing and miss, and he's like, okay, that's the one I want to see now. How do I keep replicating it? And just credit to Ben to continue to work and grow, to continue to talk to his teammates about you know ways that they think about using it. And just he wants to get better. He wants to learn. It's fun to work with Ben and in a bullpen setting and work through some of those thoughts that he has on it. It's going to be a good pitch for him, and that you're going to start to see or continue to see that usage rate you know increase as we you know continue here.
Do you have a hard fast rule about openers? I mean, are you a fan of that? Does it depend on the situation? Drew Pomerantz has been the guy in the opener role. Is that different for him? Does he have to deal with – is prep any different? Someone said that usually when you're coming into a game as a reliever, there's already tracks from the mound. Something as simple as this, there's already marks and you already know where you're putting your – your foot, when you're not used to that, you're kind of like, oh, wait a minute, I better dig this thing up. Is there anything particularly interesting about the opener role now that we're seeing it used as often as we are?
No, you know, as far as a hard, fast rule, I think my only rule is it better work. you don't want to bring a starter into a game down, you know, runs, you know, in the second inning. I think each guy's different. I think there are some guys that just can handle, you know, hey, this is just my inning to throw. I'm going to go throw. Obviously, Pomeranz is a guy who started before. You know, Brad Keller is a guy who started before who we use as an opener. So that guys that have been in that environment, that definitely helps. So, you know, I think there's a lot of things that factor in. We've used it in the past for guys who are a little, you know, who have been dealing with maybe a minor injury or something that's not going to keep them from performing or pitching, but that you want to monitor. It's actually a controlled way to let them warm up and play catch before the game and come in the game when they're hot and controlled versus, you know, getting them hot quick in the seventh or eighth. And it's a creative way to be able to control some of that for guys. But ultimately what it comes down to is like, you know, you have a matchup that you really like at the top of the order, and you're not always guaranteed to get that exact 1, 2, 3, 4 throughout the game. There's really one time you're guaranteed to have it. So, you know, when you have a good matchup that you feel good about and you want to start the game off on the right foot, it makes sense, especially when you have an offense that puts up big runs. And you can put up a zero early, take the lead early. That makes a big difference, and the team feels that. So, you know, that's kind of the way we've viewed it. It's obviously worked so far for us, and we'll continue to try to find opportunities to use that moving forward.
Tommy, let's talk about Cade Horton for a second. Between Iowa and the Cubs this year, he's made 12 appearances and is at 60 innings. Organizationally, is there a number in mind where there's a cap where after that point he no longer will be able to be used? And is he a guy, as you talk about openers, because of his first inning relative struggle, but I think it's everything you take into consideration, is he a candidate for an opener the next time out?
Yeah, innings-wise, I'd say probably like 260, you know, 270.
That's great.
We've obviously are aware of, you know, where guys are in the past innings-wise, where they are now. I would just say when it comes to, like, the workload and innings limits and all these things, like, we take a very, I would say, scientific approach to workload. All of our guys, especially Cade, you know, wears catapult, you know, when he's throwing between games, so we can monitor the effort level throughout the week. We're constantly, you know, monitoring all of his testing, strength testing, you know, fatigue testing that we do with the training staff and strength staff. That paints a big picture of where a guy is in time. So if we start to see changes in that, we start to see, you know, trends where those are going down, that's probably a good sign that fatigue is setting in. If not, then we can kind of maintain, you know, the process that we're on. And I think, so I guess to answer your question in terms of innings, I think that's going to kind of show itself to us as we continue to go through the season. And there's ways that we can find opportunities. Like last night was a good example with Boyd. You know, it's 6 innings, 71 pitches. We could have easily sent him out for the seventh, but we also have a fresh bullpen. We're on the road. It's an opportunity to keep his pitch count down in a game where he's already gone 6 innings. Those are ways you keep your guys fresh throughout the course of the season, and ways that that's just another lever that we can pull to help kind of keep these guys fresh as we continue to go.
When we talk about stuff like that, how much does velocity shift and change for guys? I mean, you always hear the term dead arm or somebody's struggling with something. But I'm just wondering, like Presley yesterday, he was in a little bit of trouble, and all of a sudden he's throwing 95 miles an hour. And that's a nice velocity for him. And then Palencia, I think did he hit 101 at one point, maybe higher than that? Like, how do you judge the individual velocity and the shift of that in within a game?
Yeah, it's, and again, like, not to, I don't want to sound like too crazy scientific with this, but, you know, everybody's got their norm and then their standard deviations of where they work off of. And, mm-hmm. and you, that's so important because you could, guys can make the exact same move mechanically and have the exact same intent and do the exact same focus and all the right things. And one could be 96, the other one could be 100, you know? And so there's going to be minor fluctuations in velo, just the timing, the, you know, the way you hit, the way the ball comes off your fingers, the way, you know, you might slip on the mount, all those things. So we try to take kind of like a, you know, an average, you know, of the velocity and the movement. And as long as we're within ranges we feel comfortable, then we're going to be in a good spot, knowing that guys aren't robots, right? They're not going to do the exact same thing every single time. But we also take notice when there's a high intent game and you see a spike in velo, that's something we need to take into consideration. And it's not something that we're going to, you know, throw a red flag up, but it is something we will monitor for a few games and make sure that recovery wise, the player is, you know, trending in the right direction, strength wise, same thing. And that we don't see any drastic drop offs in the next outing or two. But yeah, you know, press has been feeling really good, and the mechanics, he feels like he's in a really good spot right now. And starting to see, when that happens, you start to see guys get more confident in what they can go get when they need to in big moments.
Good thing you were a numbers major in college then, huh?
I never thought all the numbers and econ classes that I took and finance stuff would play the way it has. But hey, it's important.
Yep.
Baseball is a game of numbers. It's right. Constant numbers. That's what we have all the time.
Great stuff,
Tommy. Thank you.
Thanks, Tommy.
All right, guys. Thanks. Have a great day.
That is Tommy Hadovy, the Cubs pitching coach.
There's a method to the madness.
Yes,
and
there
is.
And
it's not madness. They've been pushing the right buttons, especially in that bullpen. They appear to know what they're doing, and the results speak for themselves. The last month has been
excellent.
Excellent and consistent.
No question about it. 312-644-6767. It's Mullion Hall on the Score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Full, you know, cake series.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The score, it sure is correct. From Tommy Hottaby, there are not any cake series. I mean, some are easier than others, but for a team in Philadelphia that was struggling leading up to that game, they didn't look like they were having too many problems.
Still
yesterday.
A good team.
Exactly.
They're still a very good team.
Still a good pitching team. Yeah. And yeah, dangerous.
And they are injured and they were struggling, but they did what they needed to do last night with Zach Wheeler on the mound. The Cubs, it'd be nice for them to win one tonight. They can still finish this road trip 500 if they win the next two nights. Today or tonight and tomorrow during the day, but it's going to be a tall order against the Phillies team that has not been playing well of late. Got a good outing last night, but there's no gimmies. Colin Ray on the mound tonight for the Cubs. That's a good opportunity for him to get back on track, be consistent. What I thought was interesting about the Hottaby, the Cade Horton question, he kidded about 260 innings.
That was funny.
Those are the days.
Yep.
They have to have a number in mind. I wonder what his usage will be.
Yes.
And it might depend on how they approach the trade deadline and what they're able to do, because they've been very open about going out and getting a starter. If they get the right starter, how does that affect Cade Horton's usage? And could he eventually be a bullpen piece because of the artificial ceiling or the limit that they have in mind for his innings?
Yeah, I wonder about that, David. I mean, I'm sure there is a set number, and I think that he's pitched 60 innings.
He's 60 innings, 12 was outings. So 30, he's averaging 5
37
per.
Was the most he had pitched prior to this year. So yeah, I mean, I get that. I mean, hopefully he can go. I mean, it'd be great if he could get to 125, 130, don't you think?
Well, if you're talking about 125 and 130, you're talking about a kid that's not going to finish the season.
Oh, I would be surprised if he does. Wouldn't you? I mean, are you talking about 200 innings?
No, but you're at 60 innings. If you're right now where they are in the schedule, he doesn't have 200 innings that makes any realistic sense, but you can. It's going to be higher than I think people anticipate if they're in a position to need him. I don't know that they're going to pull a Strasburg. It's going to be an ongoing conversation. But you look at the Cubs now, and they've played 66 games and still have 96 to go. So 96 divided by 5. You know, you do the math.
No, but Shota's coming back.
You talk about 19
right,
potential starts.
Take two away from there.
Okay, but he's asking, what are you going to do?
That's what I'm asking.
Yes.
I'm saying, so Shota comes back, and because you're trying to keep Cade Horton's arm intact for beyond this year, like, would you, instead of moving Colin Ray, which would seem like the obvious answer, you move Colin Ray to the bullpen because he's also, on top of it, he's willing. He came here with the idea that he was going to be coming out of the bullpen, and he's done a nice enough job as a starter. But then would you potentially see how Cade would be in the bullpen so that you weren't using him as much?
I think they're going to inevitably reach that situation or reach that reality if they are committed to limiting his innings. And I think they must be, because usually you get a pretty straight answer out of Tommy Hottaby, and we didn't really get that today.
And if they're committed to doing something in Craig Tober, they're going to add to this starting staff. This will not be the starting staff that gets you
It better not be.
Right.
And frankly, if you get to October and you're in a playoff series and you've got two innings of high-leverage baseball, you might want Cade Horton to pitch those two innings.
Correct.
So getting used to a relief role might be something that at this stage of his career, we just have to accept that might be the best use of his talent. Even though I don't necessarily like the idea of him coming out of the bullpen, I'd like like what we've seen as a starter, but I don't know that if that's in the best interest of his career longevity.
Or maybe what about, you know, like just thinking way outside the box, what about an extended opener for him? You know, like
let, 3 innings?
Like, no, I'm saying like have a like two different relief pitchers potentially pitch the first and second inning, right? And then he comes in the third and he goes 3-4-5, and then the bullpen comes back out and carries – just to limit the number of
creative.
Pitches. They
can get creative. The Cubs are going to be responsible with their pitching staff.
Yeah.
And I never thought I'd ever see this opener thing. Like, I didn't even think that was a real thing.
Well, the Rays began it.
I know.
And the Brewers.
But they began
it,
and then it kind of ended. I mean, it didn't have. It wasn't something that swept baseball.
No, but teams have used it, I think, strategically. It has been more of the exception to the rule. The Brewers, with Council, were a team in the National League that probably adopted it as quickly as anybody. Makes sense on some levels.
Yeah,
I think I can understand the logic to it.
Well, I think it makes sense for a number of reasons, not the least of which is that guys don't go 200 innings anymore. Guys, you know, we're talking about a couple of young pitchers and how they'll respond to it. But the reality is that no one goes. There aren't a lot of workhorse pitchers out there. And when you get guys that are innings eaters, there's great value in that. But, you know, people don't have bionic arms.
Thing is, they do have starters turn relievers in the bullpen. Guys who you could turn to in a pinch if you need to. Brad Keller and Chris Flexen are there if necessary. So that's interesting. I also liked his answer. Dustin, was it satisfactory to you? Daniel Palencia coming out for a second inning raised some eyebrows last night.
Yes.
Is typically if he's your high leverage. Yes. He threw 14 total pitches, 12 more strikes. So he wasn't as – he gets the loss, and it looked like things got away from him. But really, when you look at it from their perspective, they could probably go back to him tonight if they have a lead because he only threw 14 pitches. And he didn't do anything that made you feel like, boy, he this is on him.
What did you think that when they loaded the bases and then they brought in Hap and gave him an infielder's
that
glove?
That always cracks me up, how you have to change gloves.
I know.
Because
it does. It's just funny.
Is that glove going
to... And then he changed gloves, but then he wanted a different glove.
Is that your ground ball glove?
Yeah.
It must be. But how much bigger is the outfield glove than the infield glove? And how does it feel different? And
if it must be significantly bigger.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, so if you've been wearing that outfielder glove for all season and all game, aren't you putting yourself at a disadvantage by changing gloves when you might need to make a play that makes an impact directly on the outcome? I don't know. I thought that was odd. I always find that odd.
Yeah. I love the different gloves. I think it's super cool. And I think it's you know, you look at a catcher's mitt, you can't use that. You look at a first base mitt, those are different gloves.
I didn't think that was legal anymore. I thought we were like, that kind of was like the shift. And I think they even had to ask Tommy. Yeah, Flaherty,
that's why the umpires huddled, maybe.
They had to ask, like, what's the rule here? Because I haven't seen a baseball game this season like that.
So,
and I thought that was really interesting.
It was. I have two questions that we weren't able to get the answers to today. And some of it's a product of the time we have to get up to get here after the game. But there's two things I don't know. Maybe we could find out. Number one, has it ever worked? Can you ever remember a time when the infield glove thing worked? Where, oh, that ball was hit right to the guy who changed his glove and he made the play and it stopped the run. I don't ever remember seeing that happen.
I mean, how many times does that happen? It doesn't happen all the time.
The guy changes gloves. He got a fifth infielder and then the game's over because he hits it over the head of everybody. So that's number one. The other thing is, I want to know when the last time there was a manager ejected in back-to-back games.
I'm sure that's happened.
Has it?
Well, you just think about how many lunatics have managed baseball.
I know.
There are some bad men.
I was not able to find that information in the short period of time between the end of last night's game and the beginning of this show this morning. So maybe by tomorrow we'll be able to figure that one out.
Dustin, that is one of you were upset that he wasn't getting thrown out. Do you like it now? Are you happier?
Well, I was upset that he wasn't even getting out of the dugout, let alone getting thrown out of the game. Oh, and I know it didn't result in a win.
Yeah.
But I do think in my wacky way, that there is a little bit of a correlation to, you know, waking the team up a little bit, trying to do something. And well, then Ian Happ hits the home run. Listen, Ian Happ's on the midday show today.
Yeah.
I would, you know, again, I'd love to know if, like, his does the manager getting ejected fire the team up at all?
Right.
He's going to say yes. That's a loaded question. You know the answer.
Okay.
He's not going to say no. He's going to say absolutely.
Ian Happ could say absolutely. Honestly, he could say absolutely not.
Oh, I think that's he
a, there's a difference
say,
between no and absolutely not.
I think it'd be great if he said, "Who got thrown out?
Did Craig get thrown out again?" Yeah, that's interesting. I don't see a connection to that a home run, because it's got to be. You can go up thinking you want to hit a home run, and it, you could, you know.
I would
swing
hope every
badly.
Time you go up to bat, you want to hit a home run, right? I mean, isn't that the goal?
Well,
stand up double, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah,
but it's not worth a run.
Some people believe home runs can be rally killers.
Just to talk about Grant Taylor for one second.
Yes, okay. That's tonight,
thing.
White Sox Astros.
Is it tonight?
Well, the Sox would have to get a lead.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They'd have to be in the game.
You know what? I don't think you have to do that. I think it has to be tonight.
Okay.
I don't say it has
Either
to be.
Either way.
I would like to see him use tonight.
Okay.
I don't think it's a mandate, but I would. It's preferred.
So could we come in here tomorrow and have the Sox, like, blown out, only the kid strikes out the perfect inning, Dave?
It could be. I'm not predicting immaculate inning.
Immaculate.
Sox could lose 7-2, and Grant Taylor could give you a scoreless inning of relief, and I think you would be pleased with that outcome.
You would be.
Or if you want to be consistent with being a little bit over the skis about prospects, Cubs are leading 4-3, or the Sox are leading 4-3 in the ninth. And Grant Taylor comes in, shuts him down 1-2-3, and Isaac Paredes, who's off to a very good start this season in Houston, strikes out for the final out of the Sox victory over the Astros.
If you were a betting man and you had to wager on it, do we see the kid tonight? Yes or no?
Yes.
We do.
Yes.
Okay. Do we see him give up a hit tonight or no?
No.
Okay.
I think
do we see him strike a player?
I think he will have a strikeout and a walk and an inning of scoreless relief.
He doesn't walk, guys.
Here's the other question. His last one.
Three strikeouts.
Does he hit 100 on the clock, on the radar gun?
Yeah. Why not?
Okay.
Let's have some fun. I think he'll be all charged.
Okay, Brian Bannister.
I think he'll be all.
Who throws harder tonight, Josh Hader or Grant Taylor?
Hader is a bum. Yeah, the answer is yes. I'm just curious. It should be fun. All right, we've got, I believe, we have Marshall Harris here and Layla Rahimi, and we'll talk to them next. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.